Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, it's Joe, and welcome to another episode of Test Talks. Today, we're going to be test talking with Greg Pascal, all about his experience at the Google Test Automation Conference, GTAC, that he attended this year. Since I'm getting ready to put together my own first ever online conference dedicated to automation, Automation Guild, I thought it'd be fun to have Greg on the show to talk about his experience at the Google conference. So in this episode, Greg's going to share with us all his insight and tips and tricks that he learned at GTAC that you could put into place yourself. So don't miss this episode. And also, I encourage you, if you're into automation and you want to learn more and you're looking for an online conference that you can attend that you don't actually have to travel to or pay for airfare or hotel, check out automationguild.com and register. Automation Guild is the first ever 100% online conference of its kind, dedicated 100% to helping you perfect the craft of creating automation awesomeness and accelerating your automation career. It's going to happen the week of January 9th to the 13th. And we're going to have over 25 plus automation experts sharing with us tips and tricks to help us with our automation efforts. So go register now and check out automationguild.com.
Test Talks is sponsored by the fantastic folks at Sauce Labs, the cloud-based automated testing platform that eliminates the need to maintain your own Selenium grid and test infrastructure. Try it for free today. Visit testtalks.com and click on the Sign Up Now link under the homepage sponsor section.
Hey, Greg. Welcome back to Test Talks.
Hey, Joe. It's good to talk with you again and share with the audience today.
Awesome. As always, it's great to have you on the show again. You're now the Test Talks guest leader. This will be the fourth time you've been on the show. You've been in episodes 8, 19, and 112. And now, so I think that's awesome. And I always love speaking to you, and that's why I chose you as one of the speakers for the first ever online conference dedicated to automation called Automation Guild that people should check out at automationguild.com. But that's not what this is all about today. Today, I'd like to talk to you about your experience with the conference GTAC. So what is GTAC, I guess? Is that the Google conference?
It is, Joe. It is the Google conference, and it's held once a year. It's an unusual conference in that, like many conferences that you would go to, you go ahead and request funds to go from your company usually, and they send you off. It's not a big deal to get in. This conference is much different. You put in a request, and it goes into almost a process of them choosing, and out of that, a small selection of folks get asked to come. So it's remarkable, and I feel very honored that I got to go this year.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm a little jealous. I'm always thinking, how come no one ever asked me? But I didn't know you actually had to sign up to be invited. Very exclusive. So was it worth it then? Did you, based on your experience, did you think it was really a select few core people that you think really in the industry are rock stars in automation?
Yeah, it was interesting for many facets. I think it's definitely worth it. I would highly recommend people at least put an application in and hope to get selected to come. It's a remarkably diverse group of folks that will show up to GTAC. We had, I would say, close to half as many internationals as folks from the U.S. I think I counted 25 countries and over 100 companies represented, and that really was only half of the list of folks that signed up that I had access to look at. So it was a remarkable turnout from some incredible folks.
Awesome. So how big of a conference is it? Was it hundreds, thousands?
This conference had, I think, 300 people were asked to come. People had issues with visas and all sorts of things. So I think somewhere near maybe 250 actually made it to the conference there in Sunnyvale, California. I also found out that GTAC isn't always in California, Google's headquarters. It can be in all kinds of locations. For instance, next year it's in London. Wouldn't that be remarkable to get to go to?
Very cool. So you actually were on site at a Google building. What was that like?
Yeah, so the Google campus is gigantic. It sprawls all over Silicon Valley, of course, and other places. We were in Sunnyvale, and there were, I think, 6 or 7 buildings in the area. It was quite a walk from the hotel. So a number of us usually headed over there in the morning, about a good mile walk to Building 6, and attended the conference.
Very cool. So is it just people from Google as the speakers, or is it people in the industry speaking? They just happen to be hosted by Google and on Google campus?
Oh, that's a great question, Joe. I wondered the same thing. I have the schedule here, just looking at it. Yes, there are a number of people from Google, and they're exceptional to hear talk. They were some of the best presentations I've heard on test automation in a long time. Really, really good stuff. But we had folks that were from many other companies. BBC did a great presentation. That's one that stands out to me. There were a number of companies that did a fantastic job. They also had a couple speakers that we had a lady from China and another guy from India there. And I can't remember the companies they were with, but it was a remarkable turnout of folks from all over the place speaking.
Very cool. And I just assume you can't go bumbling around the Google campus looking in on what people are doing. There's a lot of security, I assume.
Yeah, that's great. You should ask that. So there is this sense when you get there, it's a very open campus, and I loved taking some time to look around. But they're very clear on where you can be and where you can't. So there are folks just right outside the door of the conference to make sure that, you know, folks that needed to take a restroom break or get some water knew where to go. But the hall to the right was off limits. So we encountered that. Google, they were remarkable guests, our host, I should say, of the event. They one thing I learned by being at Google is they provide meals for all of their employees on the campus there. They had a remarkable cafeteria, and so we just went in. We followed a Google employee in, and then we ordered whatever we wanted out of, I think there were 6 different venues that you could order food. Of course, I always grabbed a burger each day, but that's really different to find that on a campus.
So for some reason, every time I think of Google or Apple, I think that they're like a cult and that they put everything there so no one leaves. So what are the Google engineers like? Do they have that glossy look in their eyes and they're like, Google's great? Or what was your experience?
Actually, I found the folks very, very accommodating. I was trying to find where the Google store was. I thought it would be fun to pick up some Google swag, you know, and that sort of thing. And I had a gentleman, when I asked him where it was, he took my name and he went and did the research and gave me the exact address. He wrote me in an email. It was very cordial, and it was really a cut above. I think he didn't need to do that, but he took the time to make the effort to make me feel very welcome there.
Cool. So what are the typical sessions like there? Are they longer or shorter, or what's the format?
There were really 3 formats. They had kind of your classic keynote styles that were about an hour long. Those generally were first thing in the morning and maybe after lunch. Then they had, the bulk of them were about 30-minute presentations. And they also had, I think they called them lightning talks. They were very short, maybe 10 or 15 minutes long. And so we had the whole mix of throughout the couple days. The conference is only 2 days long, 22 speakers altogether.
Cool. So for the lightning talks, were you able to sign up to speak if you weren't invited already, or was it just already set up who was going to do what?
That's a great question. So that's actually how I got to GTAC. I submitted a request to speak, and my talk was not selected this time, but they still asked me to come, which I was very honored. I certainly plan on presenting another talk idea for next year. So all the folks that were there had submitted to speak. I think they had almost 300 entries, and out of that, 22 folks were selected to speak.
Was there a theme around it? Sometimes conferences have themes. Was there a theme around this particular GTAC conference, or was it just all out, you know, anything was covered that you can think of about automation?
Well, it's funny. The theme wasn't so much a technical theme as much as it was a knowledge theme. I'm taking a quick look at my notes here, but they were very open with this idea that they wanted to share. They wanted a venue where the knowledge could get shared across a very broad section of folks. And so you continued to hear that theme throughout the conference. And it might be, you know, a very niche topic, but something that had some interest that would apply, if people could kind of get their arms around it, that might apply to everybody there. They had one that stood out to me. It was on robotic telepresence, I think, something that most of us aren't going to deal with in a day in and day out. And yet they showed how somebody had to test an automated QA test process for these essentially moving platforms with the screen with a person's face, you know, on it. It wasn't like anything I've ever seen before. It was quite remarkable.
Wow. So were there any practical things, like any tools or techniques that you've found out for the first time about there that you're like, wow, this really could help me in my day-to-day job?
There were a couple, but one stands out in particular. There was a gentleman named Atif Memon, and he is a professor at Maryland University, and I believe he was on sabbatical. And he came over to work with Google for 6 or 7 months, I think starting in January of this year. And he did an incredible talk, one of my favorites, on what he called flaky test. Now, Joe, you know as well as I know, as an automation guy, this type of test is something we encounter all the time. He defined a flaky test as any automated code you run on a code base that has different results from one run to the next. That's a great definition because we all have those kinds of tests. So the flaky test concept was the reality that as automation engineers, you know, we encounter flaky tests. We see the signatures of them where one day they're acting up and the other day they're, you know, the next day they're acting well and giving us, you know, accurate results. And the reason that this really mattered to Google and why they asked this gentleman to come in is, now I hope you're sitting down when I give you this number. Google has 3.5 million automated tests.
Wow.
It's a remarkable number. I don't even think I have 1% of those automated. It's just staggering. So imagine if you had a test suite that size, and even 1% of those tests were flaky, providing inaccurate pass or fail results. In my case, when I have a test that fails, I generally have my manual tester go back and run it manually to make sure there's a real, you know, real bug there, a real defect. But if you had 1% of 3.5 million, you're going to have some people pretty busy for a long time. So Google really realized they needed to come up with a very scientific way to identify flaky tests. And that's what this gentleman did. He really analyzed this and it's got his arms around some of the aspects of flaky tests.
So he didn't come up with the formula, did he? Like, where can we learn more about this particular, what he came up with and how it could help us?
Yeah. So there are some aspects of the formula. He got really into the data. So I'm going to answer that somewhat indirectly. His formula was become exceptional at measuring everything. So he really encouraged us to find ways to gather more metrics about our test runs. Think about the execution time of a single test. Imagine if you began to record that for every time you ran that test from, you know, this day going forward. You're going to begin to see some trend data in that test that might highlight varying run times from day to day that might indicate it's a flaky test. Of course, the test results of that test on an ongoing basis. He came up with a really interesting visual on this, and I believe they're going to publish this presentation pretty soon on the GTAC website. But he showed where they toggled between pass and fail states in these irregular patterns that helped him identify some as flaky tests. Of course, where he wanted to go was to preemptively identify the tests that would be flakes. And there were some certain metrics he identified. One of them stood out to me, was very interesting, which was when more than one developer worked on a piece of code, even that automated code, as soon as a third person got into the mix of it, that test was more likely to be a flaky test than not. So some unusual metrics that are maybe harder for some of us that are a one-man show, or there's just two or three of us, you know, in our companies trying to do this. But I think my takeaway that I got, and I would encourage those listeners to do, is to find more ways to gather metrics on your automated runs and populate that in some format. We're talking about using our data lake, which is our data warehouse methodology here at Ramsey Solutions, to do that so that we can do analysis on our runs and begin to capture more of this type of information that helps us to make our test suite much smarter, much more effective in the long run.
So I'm still digesting what you just told me, what his conclusion was. And it's actually counterintuitive. It's almost scary because as my team has moved more towards agile, we've been promoting that everyone on the team should contribute to automation. But in a sense, I've seen better results when I was just the one responsible for automation, wrote all the tests. So it's almost like we need to go agile, but yet as we go agile and more people contribute to the code base, there's a greater chance that our tests are going to be flaky. Did I hear that correctly?
I think there's some truth to what you're saying, Joe. You know, much still to be explored here as well. But according to this gentleman, when he could even identify tests, I guess, based upon GitHub reports and things like that, whatever version control they're using, he could identify that more than one author had actually contributed to the development of that test, that as soon as it turned from 2 to 3 contributors to that test, that the likelihood of that test being a more flaky test was significantly higher, 2 to 3 times more.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I guess it goes all back to, like you said, though, that we should be collecting metrics and data. And I guess what's great about this is for these metrics, it's not necessarily something you gamify. It's just it gives you a total picture of what's going on. You just having a few data points may not give you the total perspective of exactly what's happening at any given point. So two of them I heard from you was a runtime of a feature file and maybe the pass fail rate of a feature file. I call them feature files or call them a test, whatever you call them.
Of course.
Are there any other data points you think everyone should keep track of?
I found it very interesting that one of the things he said is follow your intuition. And ironically, I think of the book that Malcolm Gladwell wrote called Blink. And I've been talking to our manual test team about these concepts. And I have a feeling that ATIF, our teacher for this particular topic, was also alluding to the same thing, that there's something as a test engineer that you begin to identify this particular test is the problem child in this suite, you know, and it tends to be the trouble one. So I think he's saying pay attention to those things that are obvious to us that, you know, maybe even it's not necessary to get into the statistics. You already know. I can look at my test runs today and tell you there's 2 or 3 tests in there that generally are the flaky tests, and it's got my attention that those should be ones I need to go back and revisit.
Interesting. I'm almost thinking of devious things I can track of, like the person who did it, like maybe Jim Bob or something. Every time he commits, he creates havoc. I don't know.
But yeah,
that's awesome.
I love that. I love it.
So what kind of tools are you going to use for this? I think one of the things people struggle with sometimes is gathering these metrics, what tools to use. There's things like Elasticsearch, which is open source, and even I've seen people that can try to hack ALM or Quality Center to, even though not run Selenium, but at least track the results. Are any tools you recommended or that they recommended at this conference for that?
None that I could really list specifically, but I think you're hitting onto a good point. I'm wrestling with this as I'm getting my arms more and more around the Selenium space. You know, Joe, I've been working in HP's tools for the last 12, 13, 14, 15 years now. And now switching over to Selenium, I'm finding that the tool set can be more sparse in the things that we've become accustomed to with test management. But that doesn't mean that there aren't tools that still can pull off some of these things. So I think if you are in an HP tool set, you might find that Quality Center still doesn't have the capability of gathering all these metrics, but it doesn't mean you can't still either pull them out and put them into something that can crunch those numbers. I'm looking for ways to take my information out of RSpec in the Selenium space, we're a Ruby shop, and putting them into our data warehouse, where we will need to find some clever ways to go and mine that data out and put it in a format that you know, is meaningful as far as analyzing trends.
Awesome. So besides a technique like flakiness, were there any specific tools that you may have heard about for the first time here that you think would be helpful?
They did talk a little bit about some challenges we have in tools, not a specific tool, but I will pass this on. Early on in the first day of the presentation, it was brought up that when we have tools that have almost let's say 90% overlap of another tool, that those should be things that we should flag as, you know, those that are leading our automation efforts, that are, it's taking away from time that we can be investing in other places. I know it's common sense, but I also know as an automation engineer and being around many automation engineers, we love shiny tools. You know, the next greatest kind of automation tool out there can pull us away from really becoming exceptional at the core set of things that let us do what we want to do. So I really thought that was a good takeaway for me as well. I did hear a methodology, two methodology tools that I'd love to pass on to you that came from the BBC, if that would be okay.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So the BBC did this great presentation. They actually talked about, they set up a team of folks that made sure that they had test equipment available to them, because you can imagine they're a broadcasting company. They needed all sorts of televisions and different formats and things like that. They put a team into place to make sure that those things were ready at a moment's notice. But they also taught two test methodologies I liked. And the first one they called PUMA testing, P-U-M-A. And that stood for, P was for prove core functionality. U was for understandable to all folks. That obviously ties in with the test results. The M is mandatory to run. And the A was automated. And so these are four core features they go after in one of their automation strategies, is this PUMA concept. The second methodology is what they called lion testing. And this is one I'm going to be bringing into our company as well. The idea behind lion testing was to run your test on a very scheduled basis. So they run their test every single hour, and they're very focused on performance. So they're measuring, again, things like launch time, pass and fail statuses. They had something in there they called the canary test. But this idea that this data is, these tests are being run on a regular basis, producing yet more data, just like we talked about, that's being analyzed in some way, can give insight into the health of the application. And this really fits something I have seen in my test experience as well with automation. The reason we have our manual test engineers, kick off automated test is they begin to know the personality of an application real well. I've probably spoken on this before, Joe, a little bit, but I really see a lot of fruit come out of this idea. When a manual engineer kicks off automated test, they begin to identify these trends. And I think in a way, these same tests that the BBC talked about are identifying similar things. You run them on a regular basis and you begin to detect deviations from the norm. And it gives you insight into the health of the application under test.
So I'm sorry, I'm just trying to understand. Is this a core set of like smoke tests that you run over and over again? Is that okay?
Yes, I believe that's correct. It's a set of standard tests that you would run over and over again on a regular basis, and I would probably say in the same order.
Awesome. Now, this has nothing to do with continuous integration, does it? Someone checks in code and this is a core set of tests that always run, or is it in a different context?
I think it's in a different context. So while they have their CI piece in place, these tests are really standing alone, as in this case, their lion tests, as they call them, that are running on a very scheduled basis, regardless of new code check-in or not.
Awesome. All right, Greg, any other tips that you picked up? I know sometimes in lightning rounds, sometimes you come across something that you weren't expecting, and they tend to be sometimes more valuable than a full-blown session.
Yeah, let me take a look here, see if there's anything else. Well, I'll tell you a couple things that were indirectly stood out to me. Because there were so many international folks there, I was surprised the unawareness of what we might take for granted, something like a STAR conference or even something like the Automation Guild. I think we as folks that have an interest in promoting good practices in test automation, we need to keep getting that message out. And even internationally, look for those opportunities to maybe work with a ghostwriter to do some blog posts and things that are in another language. It might be a wise thing to do so we can continue to build out great practices, not only here in the U.S., but abroad as well.
Oh, that's a great point. I'm in a mastermind now with a group, and one of the folks is from Brazil. And he said the tech industry, I forgot what he said, like 3.5 million people in tech, and they all speak Portuguese. So I was thinking, you know, it would be interested if I could get some of my content and have it repurposed and translated into Portuguese to see what happens. But I definitely agree with you. A lot of times we get so focused in on the U.S., but most of the growth probably areas are outside of the U.S., non-English speaking countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I found that the more I got to know a couple guys, I spent some time with two gentlemen from Germany, and I was surprised some of their awareness to some things and not awareness of others. So and as I met other folks in the conference, I found there was a similar trend in that I expected they would know ASTQB, let's say, or other standards like the STAR conference. And at best, they were aware of maybe Eurostar, but there was less exposure to things that I would consider most people were aware of than I expected.
Cool. So I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I go to a conference and I'm like, I'm all set with that conference. I don't think I need to go there again. What are your thoughts on GTEC? If someone gets invited, do you think they should go, or would you go again?
I would absolutely go again. I think if you get a chance and you're an automation engineer and you really want to get in front of some folks that are really thinking outside the box, just getting to hear those Google topics is remarkable, but hearing the other folks is really great too. Go if you can, at all means. And hey, maybe you get a chance to see London next year as well.
Awesome. Okay, Greg, before we go, is there one piece of actual advice you learned at GTEC that you can give someone to improve their test suite execution efforts, and let us know the best way to find or contact you?
My best advice from GTEC is to begin to find new ways to gather metrics on your automated test run information. Everything from pass and fail, your execution metrics, time of run, if you can get your hands in things such as processor usage and memory usage, those would be fantastic, and begin to capture that data and find creative ways to analyze it. I'm really easy to find online. You can find me on LinkedIn. Just look up Greg Pascal. It's GREG PASKAL. I'd love to connect with you and hear how you're being successful in your automation efforts.
Thanks again, Greg, for all your automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value we covered in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/133. And while you're there, make sure to click on the Sign Up Now free button under the exclusive sponsor section to learn all about Sauce Labs' awesome products and services. And right below that, you'll see an image for the Automation Guild. Click on that image and register now for really finding out how to take your automation skills and efforts to the next level in 2017. Head on over to automationguild.com and register now. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with creating automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.